Welcome to the Genesis Church podcast. We'll have more information at the end of the podcast, but for now, please enjoy this week's teaching.
Our second scripture is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Look, the days are coming when I will bring about a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors long ago when I took them by the hand and led them out of slavery into Egypt. They did not remain faithful to that covenant, even though I loved and cared for them as a husband. This is the kind of new covenant I will make with the people of Israel when those days are over. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will people have to teach each other or encourage their family members and say, "You must know the Eternal," for all of them will know me intimately themselves. From the least to the greatest of society, I will be merciful when they fail and forgive their wrongs. I will never call to mind or mention their sins again. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Enoch. All right, well, today we're going to get a little creative with our sermon time, meaning there'll be a little bit of me talking at you, and then we're going to practice a contemplative ritual together. So, Will is handing out a little handout that has just some extra words about using a labyrinth. For those of you who are online, I put a little note in the comments that you can look on our Genesis Facebook page, or you could just Google finger labyrinths and you will find many. So hopefully everybody has some version, right? So some kind of either a paper one or a Lego one, or my weird crafty project of puffy paint and craft boards. Sermon prep was really fun this week, you guys. We need more Legos and puffy paint in sermons, I'm just going to say. So anyway, I was kind of struck today, or this week, looking at our text, especially the piece where where Jeremiah says, we'll have less of people teaching and more of just us knowing. And so we'll have a little bit of teaching, but then I'm going to walk us through how we use a finger labyrinth. And just want to give you the heads up that that's coming. And hopefully it will be a time of meditative listening for God and how you experience the divine in a different way. So on this fifth Sunday of Lent, which before we go any further, I just want to say that some of the Genesis kids helped set up the wilderness altar today, and they had so much fun. And I feel like I have a lot of wilderness attached to me right now, though, from all the moss. But it's just a really great image and a way for them to be engaged. So I just want to say to everyone a thanks, even though the kids aren't in the room right now, for helping to bring us into worship today. On this fifth Sunday of Lent, we continue that theme of wilderness. This morning, the Jeremiah scripture portion, it connects us with God's covenant and the newness in the way that God was going to reveal God's self to humanity. So the book of Jeremiah details the ministry of the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Israel before and after the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians in 587 BCE. Jeremiah preaches, like many of the prophets, an indictment to an idolatrous people. But as we see in our portion today, he offers them a word of hope. So there are a couple sections in Jeremiah that are often the ones that are used in the lectionary, partly because it's less condemnation and more hope. And by the time of these verses, the Babylonians they've conquered the kingdom of Judah, and by force they've removed from the kingdom the two clearest symbols that the Jewish people had of their God. They destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, and then their king, Zedekiah, was taken away in chains. So the people experienced this huge disruption in their lives. And as a prophet, Jeremiah preaches to people to change their ways, to turn towards God. And then when this calamity strikes, he gives them that word of hope, that God is writing a new story for them. In Jeremiah, we see a closeness of relationship between God and God's people, even when the relationship is strained by humanity's choices. Dr. J. Bennett Guest writes, "What Jeremiah the prophet wanted the people to know and to remember in this great moment of destitution is that God's faithfulness remains intact. Even when how they've recognized God in the past doesn't necessarily align with their current reality. And despite their unfaithfulness, their rebellion, their violence towards one another, towards creation, God has not and will not abandon them. And the same is true for us today. So these verses are a reminder of promise to us as well, that when there was no way to be found, God made a way. And in the life of Jesus, we discover the lengths to which God will go to write this love on our hearts, an unconditional, an all-encompassing love that reveals the depth of pain and heartache that God endures to reach out to us, a resurrected love that cannot be swallowed up by calamity or destroyed temples or death itself. Jeremiah tells the people this new covenant that God is writing is marked by relationship, by a relational knowledge of God and this unilateral, unconditional divine forgiveness. And we know here in 2024 that that covenant is not finished, right? So it has this utopian quality, which is usually why I really resonate with passages like this in Scripture, because the idea of portions of Scripture where it says that we shall no longer shed tears, that things will be made right and be fulfilled, that, at least for me, gives me enough hope to carry on through the next day. So this utopian quality, it's woven with that spirit of hope that God is continuing to write this love on our hearts as well, even now. God reveals God's self in human form, in the movement of the Holy Spirit as the intervener in the course of history, and the divine presence who's always with us and refuses to hold our choices against us, even when we choose again and again the things that are not of God. What would it have felt like for the Israelites to believe that God would do a new thing in their midst? I keep mulling this question over in my head. How would they conceptualize that God would relate to them in a new way? They had known their relationship with God to look one way. How were they able to move forward with a new understanding of God? Years ago, the United Church of Christ, the UCC, had a campaign that put banners all over their church buildings and billboards that said, "God is still speaking." And I remember the first time I saw one of those banners. I had to ask myself, do I believe that God was still speaking to me, to the wider church, to our world? Or did I think that revelation was closed with the Bible, that that's what we get of God? And then we're just receiving echoes of those messages for years and years and years, like some kind of epic game of telephone. Do we believe God can and will do a new thing? In the wilderness, we often have to let go of how we thought things would go in order to be able to receive the new thing that God is doing. The Israelites would have had to have let go of their understanding of the divine in order to be able to receive the new covenant that Jeremiah talked about. So we too, I mean, we have to consider how to hold a posture of possibility and newness. Otherwise, we just might miss the way that God is moving in our midst. A few weeks ago, I said that we could choose to be people to hold really tightly to our certainties, to our traditions. We could be unwavering in our rightness of our theology, or we could keep a posture of curiosity and wonder and exploration. We could remain open to new revelation, to a new tapestry being woven. When we accept the invitation of Lent to turn inwards, to recalibrate our lives in apprenticing after Jesus, we're invited to pause and listen, to notice and name, and with that to expand our understanding of the divine presence. So this morning, we're going to practice listening. We're going to practice leaning into the divine presence with this practice called walking the labyrinth. Like I said, if you're joining us virtually, you can look on our Facebook page. There's an image in the post for this week that has a labyrinth in it. Everyone here has one. We're using a finger labyrinth today. And in doing so, it's a body prayer. So it's a way for us to move our bodies and engage our brain in a way that becomes kind of a metaphor for life's journey. We journey inward. We experience the center, and then we journey outward again, and we go at our own pace. We're not searching for the correct path or avoiding the wrong path. This isn't a maze. It isn't something you have to try to figure out. You simply move through it. The journey inward and the path outward are the same path. We're practicing this ancient contemplative ritual because it provides us space to listen and to notice how God's Spirit moves within our moments of quiet and meditation. And much like a traveler leaving behind the things of the world to go on your pilgrimage more freely and lightly, we begin the intentional journey of the labyrinth by letting go the things that clutter our lives and our hearts. So as we begin to center ourselves and breathe, and I'll walk you through the breath in a moment, consider the question, what do I need to set down before I move through the labyrinth? So if you take out your labyrinth, you can see that there's an opening in your labyrinth, and you can visualize what do you need to set down, what things have you brought in with you in the room, as best we can, right? Especially when things are challenging and hard. It can be so difficult to feel like you can set something down. But I want to encourage you to, like, even visually consider setting this thing down on the outside of the labyrinth. And don't worry. When you're done, you can pick that back up again if you want to. And for these few moments, I'll encourage you to simply breathe, to trace the path of the labyrinth with your finger, and to consider a question of intent. You can create your own question of intent, or you could consider this one connecting to our scripture today. God, where are you revealing newness in and around me? I'm going to give us several minutes to sit in silence, allowing our fingers to trace the labyrinth. Feel free to move through the path as often as you would like. When you feel like you're finished with that experience, you can simply sit and follow your breath. You can read words of invitation for those of you in the room that were printed on that additional handout that has some quotes and some scripture passages. There's no right or wrong way to experience a labyrinth. It is simply whatever it will be. So let's begin to follow our breath. Make yourself comfortable. And as you're following your breath, I suggest your non-dominant hand because it kind of takes us out of a rhythm. So use your non-dominant hand to trace around the outer edge of your labyrinth, breathing in for the first third and out for the second two-thirds. And kind of do that as long as you need to kind of help center your breathing. I encourage you to practice a soft focus with your gaze. Seeing but not fully concentrating on what you see. Hear these words from earlier in Jeremiah. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. As you trace the labyrinth's path, slowly and carefully, consider the question, where are you revealing newness in and around me, God? Where are you revealing newness in and around me, God. I'll bring us back in a few minutes. I invite you to quietly return to your breath. When I walk my fingers through the labyrinth, I'm reminded of this story of love, that God still speaks words of love over us, drawing near, writing a new covenant on our hearts as God did in the days of Jeremiah, and will continue to do long after we are gone from here. I want to read this closing prayer from Kate Bowler in her most recent book. So receive these words. God, it's taken me a while to see it, clouded as these days have been with a vague sense of unease. Gradually coming to my awareness that I need to feel your love. Not generally, not for the whole world, but for the specific, particular me, the me that is here and now, though it feels a little embarrassing to say so. But aren't we all at the center of our own stories? As heroes, villains, winners, losers, whatever fits the plot of the day. God, rewind this story back to the beginning. When my eyes opened and I was newborn, I came into this world wholly loved. You loved me. Not for anything I had done, but simply because. And here, though my vision is blurry, I do know what love feels like, and that is life to me. So remind me again, God, how the world spins, and the winds change, and the oceans churn, and not a single fact tells a different story than your love for me. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Genesis Church podcast.
Our teaching team is made up of men and women who love asking probing questions of each week's scripture portion,
creating opportunities for our community to respond from wherever they are in their faith formation.
We follow the Revised Common Lectionary and a church calendar because they anchor us in something which can hold us no matter what life throws our way.
Our goal is to become ordinary apprentices of Jesus who are learning to love God, ourselves, and others wholeheartedly.
If you have any questions or would like to connect with
us, please visit genesiscov.org.